Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 45, Krishna Rescues His Teacher's Son, Text 2. Uvacha Pitaravyecha Sagraja Satpratashabha Prashrayavanata Prinam Ambata Teti Sadaram Uvacha Pitaravyecha Sagraja Satpratashabha Prashraya Vanata Prinam Ambata Teti Sadaram Uvacha Pitaravyecha Sagraja Satpratashabha Prashraya Vanata Prinan Ambata Teti Sadaram Eternal to his parents, Eja, approaching them, Sa, together with Agraja, his elder brother, Lord Balaram, Satvata, of the Satvata dynasty, Rishabha, the greatest hero, Parasraya, with humility, Avanata, bowing down, Prinan, gratifying them. Ambatasa iti, my dear mother, my dear father. Sa'adaram, respectfully. Translation. Lord Krishna, the greatest of the Satvatas, approached his parents with his elder brother, humbly bowing his head and gratifying them by respectfully addressing them as my dear mother and my dear father. Krishna spoke as follows. Om Gyana Chirmanandasya Gananjana Shalakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should feel from this chapter unlimited trust in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although we are limited entities, we have the capacity, by the grace of the unlimited, to have unlimited trust. When you connect through Krishna, then you have access to the unlimited. But on your own, it is impossible. Let us take the desire to trust and be trusted, the desire to love and be loved. These desires, when expressed within the realm of the material energy, lead to frustration because, at least of all, there is limitation. Your loving propensity can't expand without hitting a wall, without hitting a barrier. Of course, the material energy never lets you see that at first. It's like you're walking along thinking there's no obstacles ahead of you. There's a clear field for trusting. There's a clear field ahead for loving. And then what happens? Bang! You hit a wall. This happened to me literally walking into a wall when I was leaving Govinda's in Sydney in July. I was talking to my god brother Pratapana, and I was looking out of the corner of my eye. Everything looked clear, straight ahead. You just walk out the hallway onto the street. So I was talking, and then bang! I ran into a glass door. So it looked fine up ahead. There would be unlimited room for expansion. I would just walk along freely without hitting any barriers, and then I cracked my head into the glass door, which they had cleaned so nicely that it would that you couldn't see any hint unless you knew about the door there. You could be fooled. So then Ramaswamy tactfully told Pratapana, better put some kind of sticker, you know, on the door so people understand that's a glass door. It's not just fresh air straight ahead. So that got me thinking about how we live our life. Just like I wanted to walk ahead freely out onto the street while blissfully talking to the devotees. Similarly, in our material activities, we want to just carry along merrily. Yes, with no barriers, with no impediments. We enlist in relationships, or we acquire relationships. And what is the hope? With you, my heart will expand and expand and expand. There'll never be a barrier. Or if there are a few barriers, easily we'll cross over them. And you want to trust without barrier, without impediment. I will give all my trust. You will give me all your trust. We're not just speaking about one type of relationship. No, these expectations run through all human relationships. You want to feel reassured. You want to feel trust. You want to feel love. But there's always a barrier. There's always an impediment. Now, what are you to do? Just to continue on in illusion, birth after birth? Hitting barrier after barrier and never learning? That is highly possible by the grace of Maya. It is highly possible, and you must take into account this possibility, that you will continue on birth after birth in this same way. That's why Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, mudha janmani janmani, birth after birth you'll be a fool. That means birth after birth, you never see what's hitting you. And what does Shukadeva Goswami say in the second canto, Bhagavatam? Pashyannapi na pashyati. Although you're sufficiently experienced through countless lifetimes, still you don't learn. You actually don't see, although you're experienced enough. Deha patya kalatra disha atma sannesha satsavi. Tesham You surround yourself with the fallible soldiers, the army that will fail you. You surround yourself with that army. Protect me, we'll be all right. And the inevitable happens. Because these failure-prone soldiers can't help you. They can't defeat time, so how can they help you? Again and again, you undergo unnecessary suffering and disappointment. Pashyannapi na pashyati. You are sufficiently experienced through countless lifetimes, but still you can't see what's going on. This is the nature of human material existence. Therefore, what does Lord Vrishabhadeva say? If you live your life without accepting the number one priority, the full career of becoming Krishna conscious, you are simply signing up for defeat. You can imagine you're walking in the city and someone approaches you, just like our Sankirtan devotees approach others. Well, someone approaches you and says, excuse me, I'd like to sign you up for defeat. What would be your reaction? Get out of here. I got enough problems. I have to now officially sign up for defeat, huh? Yes, yes. But it'll be a sweet defeat. And I promise you a few magic moments while you're being totally defeated. There'll be a few special seconds that you'll savor all your life. Even though it's going to be a total defeat. Sign here, please. We'll promise to deliver the goods. Complete defeat. Utter defeat. Sign here. And if you're a conditioned soul, what do you say? Well, you've told me a good thing. I want to thank you. You've told me there are going to be a few magic moments. Never mind the complete defeat. Sign me up right now. In fact, I'll pay. How much does it cost? This is material existence. I'll sign right now because you said there are going to be a few happy moments, a few temporary pleasures. That's all I need to get by. This is the story of material existence. We want trust. We want love. And we want to trust. And we want to love. Why is there this glimmer of hope in the material world? That glimmer of hope is there because, as you know, the material world is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Krishna also has his relationships. He has his love. He has his trust. But it has nothing to do with the material energy. And this is what you're hearing about now. Just like in material existence, Maya, the illusory energy, expands the illusory relationships. Oh, this is your mother, this is your father, this is your family, these are your countrymen, these are your fellow human beings. All that is expanded by the illusory energy, Mahamaya. And what's the result of that expansion? You suffer because you identify with all that. My own persons, my own flesh and blood. We've got a skin relationship. Isn't that deep? And then what happens in the spiritual world? The same principle is at work, but it's for real. The relationships in the spiritual world are expanded by Yoga Maya. This is what's happening now. Vasudeva and Devaki have just seen Krishna kill Kamsa in the most extraordinary way. Krishna jumped up high into the stadium and landed on Kamsa's throne, knocked Kamsa's crown off, and then took Kamsa and hurled him way down on the ground below in the center of the arena. And then Krishna jumps from the top of the arena and lands on top of Kamsa and pounds him to death. And then Krishna, being very considerate, trustworthy and caring, what does he do? He knows. My devotees, especially my mother and father, they may think that Kamsa is just knocked unconscious. So what will I do? Just to relieve them, I'll grab Kamsa's body by the hair and drag him around the whole arena. Then all my family members will understand there's no need to fear. See, this is Krishna. He knows how to reassure you. He knows how to take away your anxieties. And then Krishna mercifully performed the funeral ceremony for Kamsa, because after all, he was related to Kamsa. Krishna is related to all living entities. But Kamsa had the privilege of taking birth in a family relationship with the Lord, but he was totally against the Lord. So, therefore, he got his result. But still, the Lord performed his funeral ceremony to pacify the wives of Kamsa. Now it's time to address the situation of Vasudeva and Devaki. Remember, they have been suffering in separation from Krishna for 11 years. Can you imagine, those of you who are mothers or expect to be mothers, or those of you who are fathers and expect to be fathers, you gave birth to a son and then you never saw him after the first night he was born. Even you can look at material sociology and you can see material psychology. Often it happens that unwed mothers who give up their child for adoption immediately after the child is born, they suffer disturbances later. I have seen this myself in and persons who become devotees. They inside, they're tormented, they're racked with some kind of unspeakable pain and grief. And their material psychology is not solved until they can have another child, because they have such guilt and grief inside, they keep it locked within. So much trauma is caused. In fact, in many parts of the world, they have strict guidelines now that if you sign away your child for adoption, you can't just expect, you know, 5 years later to come storming in, "Where's my child? Actually, I'm the real mother." This is happening too much. So that therefore they make laws and protocols like that to stop unnecessary court cases. Now, Vasudeva and Devaki haven't seen Krishna since the night he was born in the prison cell of Kamsa. When Uddhava remembers this pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam, he asks you to focus on the contradictions of it all, and in this way derive transcendental bliss. We're not afraid to admit there are contradictory things about Krishna and his pastimes. We know that because the Lord is all-powerful and unlimited, he resolves all contradictions. He contains all contradictions. He can adjust everything, like birth and no birth. He's Aja, unborn, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ajopi, son of Vyatma. Although I'm unborn, and I have a body that never deteriorates, and although I'm the Lord of all living entities, Bhutanam Ishvaro Pisa, still, what do? I appear in this world without any compromise to my status as being unborn, having a body that never deteriorates, and being Lord of all living entities. I still appear in this world. How do I appear in this world? I appear through my own energy, Atma Maya, my own personal potency. Therefore, there's no question of Krishna's appearance in this world being compromised or even tainted in the slightest by the material energy. So, Uddhava asks you to meditate on this scene of Krishna appearing in the prison cell of Kamsa. And then, although he's unborn and he's taken birth in this way, Vasudev carries him to Vrindavan. Now, Krishna is very pleased with Vasudeva at this time because Vasudeva broke his legendary word of honor to Kamsa, "I'll bring all the children to you for your dispensation." He did that, but when it was time for Krishna to appear, Vasudeva couldn't do it. His affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead was so great that he could not fulfill his legendary promise. He didn't want to maintain his reputation of mundane morality, because the real morality is whatever pleases Krishna. You see, the purpose of all religion, the purpose of all dharma, all morality, is simply to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what people know as ordinary morality, ordinary religion, that is there to remove the gross impurities from you so you can be sensitive to the real dharma, which is whatever Krishna wants, how Krishna wants it, when Krishna wants it. So Krishna was pleased. Vasudeva has overlooked his legacy as being so moral, and he has not delivered me to Kamsa. So how is Krishna going to reward Vasudeva for this? What is the nature of Krishna? Is he simply the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer? Is he simply the intelligent designer? Now in fields of mundane research and normal religiosity, there's a big battle going on. Is there an intelligent designer? Or does the universe reveal that there is an intelligent design? This is such preliminary knowledge. When we talk about Krishna, on the highest level, when you speak about Krishna, you're talking about the supreme lover, the supreme truster. And Krishna demonstrates that. He doesn't just say, "Believe I'm the supreme lover. Believe I'm the supreme truster. trust in me with all your heart. He demonstrates through his Leela, I've got what it takes to capture all your trust and affection. That is why we're so fascinated by the Lord's pastimes. Otherwise, if you simply are pious, say, yes, I believe in God. We were discussing this point this weekend at the Nunanagaram retreat. We're inviting all of the attendees at this retreat, move beyond traditional puja, religious rituals, move beyond just performing religious activities out of custom without knowing the reason, and enter into the scientific world of bhakti yoga as given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So, when you hear Krishna Leela, then you know why I should trust Krishna, why I should love Krishna. Look what he does. He's showing through his Leela. Look how I deal with Vasudeva and Devaki. I act in such a way that their love is always increasing. So, as he said, Krishna was pleased with Vasudeva. You sacrificed your ordinary moral principles for me, the supreme Dharma itself. And now I shall reward you. I'm going to increase your love even more. So what did Krishna do? Vasudeva is carrying him across the Jamuna to the home of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. And right in the middle of the river, because there's a huge storm, the water is churning, the river is so troubled. And what does Krishna do to reward Vasudeva? He drops into the river, the mad rushing river. Can you imagine? Just think, you're a father. Yes, you'll be a father soon, yes? You are carrying your firstborn son. He's just been born. You're carrying him to another house and you have to cross a river. And as you're crossing the river with your newborn son, he slips out of your hands into the rushing river. What would be your mentality? Oh, your mind would be shattered. your head would shatter into thousands of pieces in anxiety. You couldn't conceive that. You're struggling in the water. Where's my son? Where's my son? This is how Krishna rewarded Vasudeva. Now, from the mundane point of view, you say, what kind of reward is that? This is what happens to me when I worship God? I get more anxiety, more bewildering situations? But what is Krishna doing at Vasudeva? He is stimulating his love to an even higher level by slipping out of his hands into the Yamuna River. Vasudeva's attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead increases manyfold. This is the name of the game. This is what life is all about for a devotee. How is Krishna acting with me, acting toward me, so that my love will increase, my trust will increase? This is what bhakti is dealing with. Therefore, we don't take seriously religion for material gain. It obscures the real gem, the real wealth, the real treasure. Now it's true, in second canto Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, Akama Sarvakama Va Moksha Kama Udharati. Whether you are full of material desires, free from all material desires, or you're hankering for liberation, perform devotional service. That's true. But the point of performing devotional service is that if you don't have pure motives in the beginning, that gradually you'll become purified so that you recognize what is the real wealth in life, the prema dana, the wealth, the treasure of pure love of Krishna. Just see how even in our beginning condition in devotional service, even the newest devotee here, Krishna is personally dealing with you so that gradually you'll trust him and your love for him will increase. This dispensation, because of Lord Chaitanya, is available even to the newest devotee here. Who is the newest devotee here? Everyone wants to go. I'm the newest devotee. I know so little about Krishna. So, even you go through apparent trials and tribulations If you're trained properly in Krishna consciousness, you'll see Krishna is using these circumstances to bring me closer to Him. And that's the treasure of life. Normally, we think, well, what are the treasures of life? Good health, good food, loving family, wealth, conveniences. Through bhakti yoga, Krishna is going to show you something that far surpasses those things, if you give Krishna a chance. Nice. Wait a minute. What's wrong with having good health, good food, big home, few cars, family members who all do what you want? What's wrong with that? Without going into the worth of those things, the point is that the prema dana, the pure love of Krishna, so far surpasses those things, you can't even compare those things. You have the ordinary expression, chalk and cheese. Well, comparing prema dana to material opulence is not even the same as comparing chalk and cheese. The prema dana is completely in another dimension. It's from another dimension. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Golokera Prema Dana Harinam Sankirtana. When we have the Harinam Kirtan, everyone can taste another dimension, the Prema Dana. So, Krishna knows how to give us that wealth, the real wealth, just like He knows how to increase Vasudeva's love for Him. Now, the unborn has just killed Kamsa. And Vasudeva and Devaki are, they have seen it all. They have seen Krishna's Aishvarya, His opulence. And so they're in a very awe and reverential mood. But Krishna doesn't want that. Krishna wants to feel Vatsalya Prem. Love me as your son. I don't want this opulent attitude, this reverent attitude. So what does he do? He takes shelter of his yogamaya potency, which expands the spiritual, the pure spiritual relationships. And then Krishna starts to make his pure drama all calculated to increase the spontaneous love of Vasudeva and Devaki. So you're now, in verse 2, you're seeing the first steps of that pure Vishuddha Sattva drama, meant to increase the love. He approaches his parents, along with Balaram. He humbly bows his head. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he's humbly bowing his head, and he respectfully addresses them. O Amba, O Tata, my dear mother, my dear father. And then he's going to begin his speech, which is going to pull on their heartstrings. And they're going to completely forget what they just saw, that in terms of Krishna's opulence and thinking he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the time Krishna is through with this scene, you're going to see Vasudeva and Devaki crying and picking Krishna up, putting him on their lap. This is what Krishna wants. He wants that his devotees trust him so much that he can trust them and he can put himself under their control. Of course, the sweetest example that you've celebrated during the month of Kartik, how Krishna allowed himself to be controlled by Mother Yashoda. That is even sweeter. His relationship with Mother Yashoda is even sweeter than his relationship with Vasudeva and Devaki. That is a pure, sweet relationship. Vasudeva and Devaki, near the Vrindavan platform, sometimes some ice fire, some awe and reverence for the opulence, and sometimes some Vatsalya Prem, unencumbered by opulence. So Krishna wants to bring out that Vatsalya Prem, love of God in parenthood. He wants to bring that out without the opulence. So this is what he's doing now. Humbly bowing his head, although he's the master of everyone and everything. My dear mother, my dear father. Now, how is it that Krishna has a mother and father? He's Sarvakarna Karanam. He doesn't need a mother and father. But because some devotees want to love him in that way, he accepts an apparent mother and father. The real focus, though, is the pure love. And Krishna is offering all those devotees who are related to him in Vatsalya Ras, you can have this taste also. Now, you can't be Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj, but you can have the same taste that they have. So, how can we trust Krishna so he will trust us so much he'll put himself under our control? This is the real science of God. We want to trust, but how are we going to be trusted? That is the point. The process of devotional service trains you so that Krishna will trust you again. Now, why shouldn't Krishna trust you now? Well, we don't have to go into that so much. Conditioned life means you have some problematic tendencies. And you can get yourself into trouble if you're not careful about your bhakti. That's why in the devotional community, we have protocols, etiquettes, rules, regulations to keep you from destroying yourself. That tendency is there to get yourself into trouble. That's why it's so wonderful if you live in a community where there are senior devotees who've seen the reruns again and again and again. They've seen the movie again and again and again. I can tell you, Prabhu, you know, let me tell you how this one turns out. I've seen the reruns. It's a foregone conclusion. And generally the new devotees, they say, well, how do you know? Isn't every situation unique? I mean, this is a new situation because I'm in it. I'm a special person. I'm going through special things. Oh, no one can help me, actually. But then as you progress a while in bhakti, you realize there's just a limited set of things that happen again and again and again. A very fixed set of possibilities and alternatives that afflict souls on the path back to Godhead. So after a while, you can just have a catalog of all of them. Just like, you know, when you go to a doctor, or you go to a lawyer, they have books with previous cases or previous symptoms, and they just look up in the book. Oh, these are your symptoms. Yes, happened before. This will be the result. Lawyers do that also. So similarly, the older devotees in Krishna consciousness, they just open their book. Yep, seen this one before. Here's what the result's going to be. Sometimes younger devotees are astounded. Oh, he must be a mystic yogi. How did he know these things? You know the story Prabhupada tells about the fool who's sitting on a limb of a tree and sawing the limb that he's sitting on. And then someone comes along and says, hey, you keep that up, you're going to fall, you're going to tumble, you're going to hurt yourself. You're sawing the very limb you're sitting on. And no, it's different. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm me, and I'm expressing myself. I'm doing what I got to do, you know. It'll work out somehow. Don't worry, it'll work out. And you keep sawing, and of course, you fall. Once the limb is severed enough, you fall on the ground, hit your head. And then what do you say to the person who warned you? What are you? You got trikalagya. You can see past, present, and future. Amazing mystic potency. There's nothing so complicated, really, about the illusory energy. She just makes herself look very new and fascinating and different. It's the same old, same thing. So a big part of being Krishna conscious is to recognize you're dealing with the same old song in terms of material attraction. Same old thing is thrown in your face again and again and again. Same old thing, birth after birth. But because it's Maya, and because you're so tiny, you can be overwhelmed, even though it's the same old song. Each time it looks new and different. And Maya even promises you, don't worry, You think you've seen this before, but this is all new. It's never happened to anyone else before. No one else understands it. Take it. Go for it. Once, I was just listening a few days ago. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Seattle, Washington. And while he was speaking, some loud music was coming from the street. And so Prabhupada said, "What's that? What's that?" And the devotees explained, "It's an ice cream truck." It happens in Melbourne during the summertime. They have ice cream trucks that go through the streets playing music. And so I remember when I was a little kid, as soon as you're inside your house, as soon as you hear the music, you know, ice cream. And you immediately run out into the street with your little money and you offer your money to the guy and he gives you some ice cream. So when Prabhupada heard the devotee's explanation, that music is the sound of the ice cream truck, he said, "This is Maya. This shows you how Maya works. Come enjoy. Maya allures you. This is going to be nice. Ice cream on a hot day. Your senses will be relieved. Your mind will finally become peaceful. Your chakras will balance." different presentations for different times and places. Material energy, see the expert, in making the presentation. Previously it would be, slightly different wrapping. Nowadays, the wrapping has changed a little bit. It's still the same old Maya. You'll become holistic. You'll tune in to whatever. Wow, this sounds like great relief. So you've been allured, and then you're captured. You pay the price. And you still don't learn the lesson. Just see the potency you have to trust. You're going to trust the illusory energy. Isn't that embarrassing? And then when Krishna asks you to trust him, you've got doubts. All right? I don't know, Krishna, devotional service looks good sometimes, but could this be the only way? Or if you're from India, you say, "But aren't there many gods?" If you're from the West, is this the only way? Now, you're not following anyway, but you just challenge. There must be another way. Or, if you're from India, you're not actually doing any authorized worship of demigods or anything like that, but still you think, there are other gods. This is a symptom of our rebellious nature. So, if we are prone to trust the illusory energy, why can't we transfer that trust to Krishna? You can't say that you can live without trust. You are trusting. You've got to catch yourself doing this. You're trusting. You're wanting to love. You're wanting to care. You're wanting to give trust and be trusted. Bhakti yoga means transfer all those motivations to Krishna and his service. So what is Krishna doing here? He's showing, you can trust me. And when you trust me as you should, I'll completely trust you so much. I'll be your son. And I'll say, "Oh Amba, oh Tata, oh Mother, oh Father." He's falling at their feet. And he's going to make his presentation to stir their hearts. He's the Supreme Personality of God, and yet he's doing this. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, Uddhava says, "When I think of this scene of Krishna and Balaram falling at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki, it gives my heart great pain." Why does it give Uddhava great pain? Because he's feeling separation from the Lord. He's remembering the Lord. The Lord has just disappeared from ordinary vision, and Uddhava is remembering. And it's the pain of love of Krishna and separation. And also, Uddhava is feeling sad because of those who will misunderstand Krishna's pastimes. They won't understand how the Supreme Lord becomes subordinate to his devotees' love. They'll think Krishna is an ordinary person. But once you accept that more important than Krishna's controlling power is his loving power, then you can understand what is God. He's more interested in expanding the loving relationships than he is in creating material worlds, creating universes. That is considered such an insignificant activity. But what Krishna is really interested in is how to expand the relationships with his devotees, and that's what he's doing now. Now, how do we consider material relationships and spiritual relationships? You'll get a very interesting insight into how to deal with both of those when you look at Queen Kunti speaking. She's speaking to Krishna because Krishna wants to leave Hastinapur and return to Dwarka. Now, Queen Kunti makes her presentation. Please, my lord, sever my attachment for my family members so I can focus completely on you. Now, you might say, why should Kunti pray to sever her attachment to family members when her family members are all devotees? Her family members are part of Krishna's dynasty. But still she's saying, my lord, cut that attachment, that snehapasha, that the ropes of affection, cut it. You see, Kunti's in a tough situation. Which side of her family should she favor? The Pandavas are her sons, but she's also related to the devotees in Dwarka. So whom should she be partial to? If she says, Krishna, stay here with the Pandavas and me, what about her other relatives in Dwarka who are waiting for Krishna? So she's feeling the perplexity of the situation. So finally she concludes, let me pray to Krishna to cut my family attachment. So I'll just focus on him. And in the next verse she says, Gange Vodam Udandhati. Let my attraction ever flow towards Krishna, just like the Ganga flows always toward the ocean. I don't want any impediments. So she's teaching that whatever we have, whatever we're connected to, it has to be purely for Krishna's pleasure. So she doesn't want her attachment, even though her attachment for her family, even though her family is such rare, exalted persons, she doesn't want to get that to get in the way of her attachment for Krishna. And therefore she's praying like that. You see, you can't actually love anyone directly. How many births is this going to take for us to understand that point? We all have this propensity deep in our heart. I want to love. You want to approach at least one other person and emote and project. And then you think, I will feel satisfied. I got it out, finally. I got the loving propensity out. I've given vent to the loving feeling. But you can't love anyone directly. Does that mean there's no love? That means you can't love because you can't love anyone directly? No, there is unlimited love when you love through Krishna. So the bhakti yoga process is training you how to love everyone by the simple method of loving Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada says, you turn on the one switch that makes all the lights go on. Think about it. If love is so great and you want it so badly, why not learn how to love everyone? But you can't even love one person directly. Try it. See what happens. You won't be able to be fully satisfied. And that will be the lesson that you learn. If you take your short human form of life to learn how to love Krishna, then your loving propensity can expand without impediment and you can love everyone. Just like when we chant Hare Krishna. I was watching the devotees in kirtan today. They are expanding their loving propensity unlimitedly through the kirtan. That's why they're so happy. Their loving propensity is not hitting any walls, any glass doors, no impediments. That is what bhakti yoga is about. If love is so great, why not love everyone? Why not learn how to do that? You can't even love one person directly. You've got to go through Krishna. Those who are familiar with material psychology, they often say, one of the most powerful words in human language, when you say to someone, I love you. Or, what's even more powerful than that, according to material psychologists, when a child tells the mother, I love you, mommy. There's nothing more, those are the most powerful emotional words in human experience. But those words cannot compare with just one utterance of Hare Krishna. Our whole devotional progress is meant to bring us to this point, that when I say Hare Krishna, that is the most powerful loving emanation. Hare Krishna means Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna means the exchange of love. We're not decrying love. We want to be qualified for the real love. And so Krishna is showing you his pastimes to attract you. You can trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know how to love and increase the love without limitation. And when you trust me, I'll trust you so much, I'll come under your control. I'll fall at your feet if we're in Vatsalya Prem, and I'll say, O Amba, O Tata, please forgive me. So please meditate on this point, and then in the coming days, we'll speak more about how Krishna is making this intense drama. The drama is so intense that even a close devotee to Krishna, like Uddhava, says, I'm bewildered. I know what Krishna is doing, but still I'm caught up in it. I'm still caught up in the drama. Have you ever watched in your previous days, not now, watched a TV show you've seen before, a movie you've seen before? There's no excitement there. There's no suspense there. But Uddhava saying, even though I know what Krishna is doing, because I'm Mantri Raj, I'm the king of the counselors, I give Krishna advice, I know his ways, but still, when I think of his pastimes, how he is unborn, yet he appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa, how he fled apparently in fear from Mathura and went to Vrindavan, when I think of these kind of pastimes, I'm bewildered. Because Krishna does these pastimes so wondrously that the devotees are eternally fascinated. That's why you can hear Krishna Leela over and over and over again. And the taste simply gets fresher. So this should make you think about who is Krishna and what does Krishna do. Because even the greatest devotees like Uddhava say, we know Krishna's ways, but still we get caught up and we start feeling pain in the heart. Oh, just think what he did. Uddhava remembers the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan, outside of Vrindavan, in Dwarka, Mathura. And his heart is carried away completely. This is how powerful the true lover is. So we'll be speaking more about trusting Krishna. And if you don't trust Krishna, it's not like you don't trust anyone. No, you'll be forced to trust the illusory energy. So we want to transfer our trust from the illusory energy to Krishna, and then our life will be successful. I will stop here for today. Are there any questions? Yes.
You're talking about approaching authorities. How do we know that we're approaching the right ones? For example, due to our conditioned nature, we might seek out those who might tell us what we want to hear. So how do we make sure that we get the right advice?
Generally, what I've seen in Krishna consciousness is that water seeks its own level. That persons look for advice according to the level they want to be at. If left to your own devices, that's what you'll do. If you want watered down Krishna consciousness, you look for those who water it down. Hey, let me tell you what's really going on. No one really follows, you know. You may be fired up now as a new devotee, but, you know, in a few years you'll be just like us. And then we'll be able to relate better, you know. You're just going through this temporary phase of being enthusiastic, but sooner or later you're going to realize the movies aren't so bad. There's nothing wrong with watching TV all day. And, you know, you finger your beads a few times, and Krishna is so merciful, he appreciates. Some devotees want to hear that. Isn't that so? You know. You've met. Some devotees want to hear that. Other devotees are very eager to get out of the clutches of Maya and increase their Krishna consciousness. So they look for a different type of advice. So, if we're left on our own, we'll just gravitate toward that advice that matches the level that we're on or want to be on. But the advantage of living in a strong devotional community is that even though you may have low expectations and low desires, because you're in association of those who are stronger, your desires will be uplifted. Srila Prabhupada said, this is good management. That you have no desire to be Krishna conscious, but because of a good managemental arrangement, some desire to be Krishna conscious comes out of you. So that is the advantage of being part of the devotional community. Even though you may not have much to invest with it, if you place yourself within the devotional community, what little resources you have will soon become multiplied by the power of good association. So this is a smart way to go about things. Always keep yourself in the midst of strong, vibrant devotees, and then whatever little capital you have will easily be multiplied. You won't just stay at the level that you're already familiar with. If you're weak in Krishna consciousness, you need to become stronger. And even if you think you're strong, you still need to become even stronger. That all happens in dynamic association. What is dynamic association? That association is always thinking, how can Krishna better be served? That's where the life comes from. That's where the ecstasy comes from. When you start thinking, how can Krishna always be served? That means you trust Krishna. But what is the converse? Well, how can I think about how can Krishna be served? I've got to think about me. If I don't think about me, who's going to take care of me? I mean, I've done such a great job for so many births looking out for me. Doesn't everyone know that? Look at the marvelous things I've done. The repeated births and deaths. Look at all the different types of bodies I've had. Aren't I competent? I know how to handle myself. Haven't I shown that? Mudha janmani janmani, birth after birth, I've been a fool. So, we should be humble and develop our trust for Krishna. And that trust in Krishna develops in the strong association of devotees. Devotees who are going places, they're on the path back to Godhead. How do you know who's on the path back to Godhead? Is it, you know, how many years they've been here? Not exactly, not always. You know they're on the path back to Godhead when they're simply thinking, how can Krishna better be served? Then you know, this is a devotee I want to serve. Not only saying that, but they're also acting in that way. They're making sacrifices. This is best for Krishna, therefore I'll do it. Even though it may seem to feel a little uncomfortable for me, but I'm part of Krishna. If I do what's best for Krishna, I'll be taken care of. Those are the kind of devotees you want to be around. And we can see, of the Krishna Bhaktas, those who take the desires of the Sanupati Bhakta, the chief Bhakta, Srila Prabhupada, deep into their heart, their spiritual progress becomes very intense. We've seen that now. It's almost been 30 years since Srila Prabhupada's departure. And we have not seen the results from aligning yourself with anyone else's mission or desires, as we see in those who align themselves with Srila Prabhupada's mission and desires. There's some special dynamic potency flowing through that line. We're not trying to enjoy Krishna. We are simply trying to serve Krishna. That is the most dynamic, elevated position. So you get a chance for that in the association of stalwart devotees. They're stalwart because they're just thinking, how can I use this short human form of life to satisfy Krishna? How can I fulfill Srila Prabhupada's objectives? His objectives are coming as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasi Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. How can I take Srila Prabhupada's objectives and achieve them with my short life? Then you feel the spiritual electricity. So you want to be around those types of devotees and take advice from those type of devotees. Okay? Yes, Aniruddha Prabhu.
You said that Krishna is trustworthy, but he told the residents of Vrindavan that he would come back from Vrindavan in a couple of days' time, but he never returned.
He never returned? He actually never left. Rupa Goswami says he never takes a step out of Vrindavan. He apparently left in order to be present even more with them through love of Krishna and separation. They have more Krishna than before. This is the mystery of highest level of love of Krishna. Through separation, you feel the Lord's presence even more. Therefore, as we always explain, Sad Gosai, the six Gosamis of Vrindavan, they never said, now I have Krishna, now I'm seeing Krishna. As Prabhupada says, their mission was always unfulfilled. So you signed up for the mission that's never going to be fulfilled. Hey Radhe, Braja Devi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kuto. Queen of Vrindavan, where are you? Lalita, son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you? Are you on Govardhan Hill? Are you on the bank of the Jamuna? Where are you? In that feeling of where is Krishna, they have Krishna more than anyone. This is the mystery of pure love of Krishna. So, apparently Krishna was gone from Vrindavan, but actually he's there present even more through the gopis' feelings of separation. He, upon leaving for Mathura, plunged Vrindavan Dham into the Prem Agni, the blazing fire of love of Krishna and separation. They had him even more. That's why they could never stop talking about Krishna, even when they would say, let's stop talking about Krishna, what's the use? He's Pura Stri Janabalaba. He's the property of the city women. Why should we talk about it? But they can never stop talking about it. That shows Krishna is present. When you can never stop talking about Krishna, Krishna is always present with you. Have you ever met someone you can never stop talking about that person? Think, your favorite person in the ordinary sense. Have you ever met such a person in the ordinary sense, ordinary relationship, that you can never stop talking about? Your dearly beloved, your mother, your father, whatever, your temporary significant other. However, whatever. It's impossible to stop talking about that person? But Krishna is that kind of person. He's one of a kind. You can't stop talking about him in your natural position. That's the lesson taught by the damsels of Vrindavan, the Brajanadi. They can't stop talking about Krishna. And they're inviting you. This is the way to be. And Lord Chaitanya has certified Ramya Kachit Upasana Vajavadu Vagini Kalpita. There's no better way of loving Krishna than that demonstrated by the cowherd ladies of Vrindavan. They can't stop talking about Krishna. And therefore Krishna is always present. He can't leave. Although apparently he's left just to produce a situation for more love. What did he tell the gopis? I can't repay you for what you've done. Your love is so great. I can't repay you even in the lifetime of Brahma. 311 trillion years. You can't conceive of that lifetime. But Krishna says, I can't repay you even in that time. So, he admitted he's indebted. How did he fulfill the debt? By leaving them. So they would have him even more. through love of Krishna and separation. If you don't trust Krishna, you'll never understand it. Suppose you tell your wife, I cannot repay you for all the service you've rendered me over the years. Let us say, Chiranjeev Prabhu, he tells Chandramali that, I cannot repay you for your 25 years. They'll be married next year. So, for these 25 years, I cannot repay you. So there's only one conclusion. I'll leave you. How would that go over? But unless you trust Krishna, you will understand his leaving the residents of Vrindavan. Even when they're criticizing Krishna, you're hard-hearted, you're cruel, you're a liar, you're a cheater, you're a property of the city women. Their love is simply increasing. Unless you trust Krishna, you'll never understand that. So the whole process of bhakti yoga is to develop this unflinching trust in Krishna. And when trust reaches its proper level, Krishna will trust you so much he'll come under your control. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.